Hey guys, always on the road. You know that the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour kicks off in September in Los Angeles. The West Coast dates are announced. Go to dansoder.com and see if we're playing a theater by you. It's going to be awesome. You know, the hour is close to ready, and I've been really having fun doing some shows with it. So come on out to the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour starting in September in Los Angeles at dansoder.com. Still doing some clubs though. Still keeping the knife sharp. I'm not just going to take off time until that happens. So I'm on the road. June 20th and June 21st, I will be at the New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut. Then in July, July 18th and 19th, I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Virginia Beach. And then July 31st through August 2nd, I'm going to be at the Empire Comedy Club in Portland, Maine. So any of those dates, you know, it's East Coast. Go to dansoder.com and get those tickets. As I've learned from my fans that I'm not good at introductions.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm horrible at the actual broadcasting part. Right. So that's what I'm working on. I'm working on a couple things.
Yeah.
Saying that's funny in every sentence.
That's
how I react. That's almost my autism. Is like when I like say it out loud, where I'm like, this is making me laugh.
Man, I think like that saying that's funny as a comedian, because it's like a
chef going,
Yeah. But I think I've made the mistake of saying it like when it's not, I'm just that, like in my mind, it's a synonym for I appreciate that, or that's good.
That's like your move forward line.
Yeah, like, or that's funny. And I'm like, no, they were saying something sincere, but I was trying to say I agree with you, or I appreciate what you said. But
you just launched the that's funny, where they're like, and so they said mom's got like 4 months left to live, and you go,
man, that's funny, dude.
It's really funny. It's really, really funny.
Hey man, that's funny.
But I'm getting better at intros.
Oh yeah,
because I've just been starting episodes and ripping for talking for like 50 minutes to an hour, and then someone's like, who is that? But in my defense, you're probably watching this on YouTube.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is just one thumb movement.
And see, yeah.
Because there'll be a link to your special. There'll be all that.
Yeah, man.
He crosses the T's and dots the I's.
Oh, yeah. Levin's on it.
So we know.
Yeah.
But this is Greg Warren. And his special is out on YouTube right now. Watch it. It's less of an intro. More of a command.
It's a directive, man.
It's a directive. Yeah. It's standard operating procedure.
I felt like I had to go watch it.
You guys are, what I love is you're a St. Louis guy, which I, just to do the comedy shop talk first.
Yeah.
St. Louis has an impressive amount of very funny people that have come out of it. And it gets very overlooked.
Yeah. Philly, we got some people.
Philly and Boston
are, yeah.
You know, produce, but if I'm a comedy recruiter, I'm making St. Louis a pipeline.
You could sort of build a
good program,
a good team with some overlooked.
I mean, now there are one, Nikki Glaser doing very well.
Same high school as I did, man.
There you go.
Yeah,
now, look at that.
A lot. She went to high school with my brother.
Yeah, it's funny when you're in comedy and someone goes to your high school and does way better. Because I went to high school with, my high school was Bowen Yang.
Oh yeah,
from SNL. Yeah. So my high school is like Saturday Night Live, Bowen Yang, and then like several beats later they go, and a guy that was on Guy Code, on MTV2. I don't know if you watch that, but it's but St. Louis is a comedy city. You, Nikki Glaser, Tommy Jonigan,
Kathleen Madigan.
I forgot Madigan's from St. Louis.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Jesus.
Lavelle Crawford.
This is if I am a comedy recruiter, you're like tapped in a way.
We got some people. Yeah.
You guys got a great
Dick Gregory from way back. Yeah.
Listen, that counts.
Yeah.
All Denver really had was Roseanne and Tim Allen.
Yeah. Oh, was Tim Allen in Denver? Okay.
Before Detroit.
Right.
He was Aurora. He was referring. Wow. I believe he was either born in Aurora but St. Louis has fucking got so much goddamn.
Yeah, talent. We got, I'm missing some people.
Are too. You, and you grew up in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was born in a place called Springfield, but
which is the basis of Springfield in The Simpsons.
Is it really?
Springfield, Missouri
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's Springfield, Illinois. Might be Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah.
I did the Blue Room in Springfield.
Yeah, wasn't there a funny story about that?
Yeah, they gave out tickets to Matt Rife. So they papered the room.
Wasn't it like
it worked?
If you go see Dan Soder,
it fucking worked.
You have a chance to win tickets.
You see Dan Soder, you might.
Yeah, it was like
have a chance.
Yeah, leave it to Missouri. We can't do anything without having some sort of a raffle.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was. I don't know. You know when you try to be professional,
yeah.
But you're very angry.
Oh yeah.
There's almost this like moment where your brain is hyper examining everything that happens in the moment when you're mad, but you have to be muzzled order to get a paycheck that weekend. And I went down to Springfield. I flew into Kansas City, drove down to Springfield, which is like 3 hours away.
Yeah.
So many dead animals on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen that many dead animals, just dead possums. And I'm from Colorado. I've driven from Colorado to Arizona multiple times.
Right.
And never seen the amount of dead animals.
Yeah, I mean, we dogs, deer.
It's just Missouri is you drive through it and you go like, are you guys trying to kill animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those aren't even with the cars. People are just on the side shooting.
They just go out there. I just got to get this out of my system. I'm fucking mad about it. Where's a possum?
There's snipers that are...
pull over. I got to fucking shoot a possum. But I went down there, and it's such a long drive.
Yeah.
I was using my phone as GPS, so I don't have... I'm not reading...
Is that a great way, actually?
No.
I mean, from St. Louis, there's just like one freeway to Springfield. From where you are.
Kansas City. It was back roads
almost. Yeah, yeah.
Hence the dead possums.
Yeah.
I got to Springfield.
Oh, listen, man, you go downtown St. Louis and the big roads, we got.
Oh, yeah? You guys are doing it in the big city? You guys doing it under the bright lights?
Yeah, yeah. We got all kinds of,
I'm underestimating Missouri.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I got to Springfield that I read my phone and I saw the Matt Rife thing.
Yeah.
Which I've explained before on the podcast.
Oh,
it's very embarrassing.
I loved it so much.
Because when you're not selling any tickets, I think like the Thursday ticket count was like 24 when I got on the flight to fly to Kansas City. So they did, the comedy club did this thing where they're like, buy a ticket to Dan Soder, maybe win Matt Rife tickets. Yeah. And it worked. It got people out. So thanks. You know, even though I was mad about it, it was right. But I was mad at the owner, and he picked me up, and... I just wanted to be so mad at him,
but
I just was like sitting in his car on the way to the comedy club.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was like, hey, Springfield is nice.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. And he goes, this isn't even Springfield. And I go, where are we? And he's like, downtown. And I go, downtown where? Downtown Springfield. And I went, okay.
Was he saying like, this isn't the real Springfield?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But when I saw that thing, man, you posted something about it.
Yeah, like, well, I talked about it on a podcast.
It's just so great. Cause it's that thing when you're not selling tickets, man, you just feel like
you feel everything for people coming out.
About, everything that I'm angry about is my fault.
Yes.
And you ever been in a club when it's like though it's not a big crowd, but they still see like, four people over here, and then four people, 50 people. And then your mind is like, hey guys, can we get these together? And you're like, I can't say anything because this would not be a problem.
Yeah.
If it was full, it's not a problem.
Guys, before we start this, let's bunch you into a little pile of leaves. So we can all jump into them.
But this was what's crazy. It was like, this was, I remember seeing you talking about
it
because it was...
Yeah. It was a couple of years,
I've had these things
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've had these things happen.
Yeah.
When I was like, I knew my career's gone up and down a few times, and I was like, this is the down, and you need to live in the down. But this was going on when you were on the Showtime thing.
Yeah, I was on a show on Showtime.
And it was great, and it was...
Yeah, but that didn't really...
It was still...
It was
as
like,
a guy like me watching, I was like... I don't know if I ever even told you, man. I thought you were great in that thing. I watched all the episodes, and it was so cool.
Very fun job.
Because you can see sometimes they're like, oh, they put the comic in the... You're just an actor, man.
I think that was a good job by Brian and David, who ran the show. They loved stand-ups, so they put me and Birbiglia and Alan Havey,
You guys,
Sam Morril, a couple other people.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of...
Havey's St. Louis.
Yeah.
Very... Havey's...
Havy St. Louis?
Yeah, not. He's like born there and spent like 10 years there, but he's a big Cardinal fan. But yeah,
because he's also a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, he's not.
Because like, we talk about the Dolphins because of McDaniel.
Yeah, I think he only spent like 10 years, but he's a big time Cardinal fan. Yeah.
Yeah, that St. Louis is. But you wrestle. Here's always the thing that I'm amazed, and you grew up wrestling. I'm always amazed when comics turned out to like. Wrestlers to comics.
Yeah.
Vecchione.
Yeah.
Who's like a brother. You know, lived with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then when I found out, because you're so funny. And oh, it's nice. In wrestling, I learned very early on. Are you from a wrestling family?
Yeah. My dad was my high school coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how early did you start?
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started at 5.
Did you?
And I didn't have that dog in me.
Yeah.
I started it because I loved pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But I didn't, once I saw what it was, I wasn't against it. I didn't like puss out. I was like, oh yeah, it's wrestling. But the first meet where you go against a kid with a buzzed head.
Oh yeah.
And he's buzzed his head. Yeah. So it's specifically prickly to slam into your head. And you don't have a dad. You have a mom.
That's
and
right, man.
You have a dad. Yeah. You have a mom in Murphy Brown shoulder pads, going like, "Come on, Dad!" And I'm just getting my fucking face driven into the mat.
Yeah, I wish they could have panned over to that kid's parents. Yeah. They don't look like your mom.
No.
Yeah, it's like, get him.
Yeah,
get him.
Especially like some guy from like Sterling, Colorado, yeah. And they're like, "You want to eat steak? You gotta kill the cow." And meanwhile, my mom's like. No matter how you do, I'm going to be proud of you.
Mom, shut up.
Shut up. I'm being destroyed.
Yeah. Because
these kids, I don't think people understand. I played football. I've sucked at every sport.
Sucked at a lot of them. One, I didn't. But yeah, the rest of them, I was
wrestling,
terrible.
Baseball, football. I got to play them all, and I got to suck at all of them.
Really?
Because what I realized was I was the funniest kid on the team every time, and that's probably, it's just like, oh, I haven't found, my thing was comedy.
Yeah.
It just took a lot of sports. I just love sports.
That's great.
Because I'm very competitive. But wrestling is the only sport where, like, you see it young with kids. Like, the way they talked about Spartans. Like, when they would find out if a kid had it in them.
Yeah.
Where they'd be like, kill your animal.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, me, I'm like, but that's my friend.
Yeah.
I gave it a voice.
Yeah.
And then like the kid that's already got its knife in its throat. Yeah, it's like, do I get to keep the
what's
pelt?
Next?
Yeah. I want the pelt, father. And meanwhile, I go, well, that's my friend. And he gives me his paw and I give him some of my food.
And then they're like, you see that boy right there?
You're going to kill him. You're going to kill that boy. Unless he wears a robe and tells fancy stories. But so when you were little, they got you in. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I was the oldest though.
But okay.
My dad.
So you were the first one in.
Yeah. And I was like, my dad was a coach and I remember going to his practices. You know, it's fun.
You get
around the older kids or whatever. And I think he was coaching junior high. And I think the first time he put me in, I didn't know what I was doing. And then he got me going in Little League. But he said early on, the problem was like, they would match you up based on like, you know, this kid's that you're the most experienced kid,
sure,
or the best kid or whatever. And I just started and they would put like 5 stars next to my name because my dad. And then
that's crazy.
And my dad was like, no, he doesn't, he just started. And
your dad didn't have the like, you better earn this last name a little bit.
He didn't have that.
Yeah.
But he had, I mean, he pushed me. He was a wrestling coach. Like,
coaches are.
He pushed me hard enough.
Watching wrestlers condition. Any athlete will tell you that they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Summer football, when we would come in and see the wrestlers and you're like, no thanks.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, it's funny because like some of the conditioning stuff that you do around wrestling looks like the sexiest as far as like that's the crazy. But the hardest part about conditioning is just wrestling. Like that's when like just
your whole body,
just wrestling in college was like, it was just brutal.
Was it in high school kind of a thing? Because I know Missouri is good. Missouri is a good wrestling. It's not an Iowa.
Right.
It's not a Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What are the three best? Ohio, Pennsylvania, Iowa, and...
High school was like the best high school wrestling is Pennsylvania by far. Ohio right there. Jersey probably there.
Oh my God, the parents in that state.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Gotta be a nightmare.
It's awesome because they got the.
Can we go to the Jersey wrestling yes. championships.
Yeah, yeah.
You're coming with.
Yeah.
We should
and go with, and Vecchione would go too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be our Ginzo translator. Hey, tell him what kind of tomatoes you like, Mikey. And then they go, all right, I'll talk to him. You know, like it's like in those documentaries in Afghanistan where they go and talk to someone and they go, this village leader will talk to you. Some guy with tweezed eyebrows coming out going like, my son's in the 145. Honestly, he's a beast.
Man, that is it. Yeah, let's
please go to
that. Yeah,
you gotta Dan, tell
he's
me
saying
when
he respects you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vecchione goes, now come here. Kiss him on both cheeks. Now ask about his boy.
Yeah.
Now ask about his son. So, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Iowa.
Ohio, Pennsylvania, Jersey. California, just because of the sheer...
It's volume,
and it's pockets. Like, it's Fresno and Bakersfield.
Fresno. That's where Trish grew up. That's where my mom grew up.
Really?
Yeah, Fresno High. Go Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. Fresno, Bakersfield, and some... Yeah,
inland California.
Yeah, yeah, some of
not the... Not the sexy part.
No.
There's no one from San Diego.
No. Well, downside...
Like Huntington Beach?
Not probably OC type stuff, but but there is something down in down south that's pretty good. But
what about the Bay Area? Just passive aggressive wrestling?
Yeah.
They go, I'm going to take your, I'll take your leg if you want me to. They go, what are you doing? Stop passive aggressively wrestling, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'll get in position, I guess. Dude. Oh, summer is here. So you know what that means. Got more sun, more time to do all the things that make summer so special. And the number one thing you don't want to be doing all summer is spending hours cooking inside. You know, barbecue, sure, but you can't barbecue every day. Well, that's where Factor comes in. Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals. They're ready in just 2 minutes, taking the hassle out of eating well. Honestly, you get to choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more so that you can identify what you want out of Factor and then get it. You just get a bunch of delicious meals right to your door. Get started at factormeals.com/soder50off. So that, and use the code soder50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. So again, the code is soder50off at factormeals.com/soder50off for 50% off free shipping. Factormeals.com/soder50off. Guys, I love my Perfect Jeans. They're stretchy, they're snuggly. Honestly, the whole thing is, when they sent me the Perfect Jean, I was like, what a name. Why do you have a name like Perfect Jean? And then I put them on and I'm like, oh, I get it. Best of both worlds. Get some style and you get some comfort. So now I love my, and if you don't know about me, I will wear jeans for like 2 weeks straight. Like I live on the frontier. Like I'm an old cowboy. But Perfect Jean, what's great is they sent me a couple, huge range of sizes and fits. I chose a couple, and then I was like, all right, these are great. But they also have other stuff, not just Perfect Jean. So you got to check it out because they got tees that I love. Like the Perfect Jean also has the organic cotton tees, super soft in the fit that makes your arms and chest look good and the belly better. You know what I mean? The tee perfectly pairs with their comfort shorts. Jeans are hot for summer, so get some comfort shorts, which not only they don't ride up when you're walking through the city, but also keep me cool the entire time, letting my little yams stick out. The Perfect Jean always has free shipping, exchanges, and returns. Peace of mind knowing your order is completely risk-free. It's finally time to stop crushing your balls in uncomfortable jeans by going to theperfectjean.nyc. Our listeners get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges when you use the code SODER15 at checkout. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code SODER15. After you purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you. Perfect Jean, go get your legs into something sweet. It's amazing to me because when you're 5 years old and you start like that, so your dad's a coach, so you kind of have a roadmap to it.
Yeah.
Is a way of being like, did you find that to be fun or pressure?
I think when I was younger, it was fun.
Yeah.
Because pretty quickly I was just winning all the time because I had a dad who was a coach and I had a little of that killer thing, I think. You know,
you 100% have it.
Yeah.
You 100% have it.
I mean, I think my dad told me, like, at one point, I don't know, I do remember this, that I was probably 9 and I was good. And I was sick. I was sick, man. Like the flu, sick as a kid, you know. And like, and we went to a match or whatever. And I think I just wanted to go because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And he was like, and I wrestled a couple kids, you know, that I was like,
Mies. You wrestled a couple Mies.
It was like, this is no big deal. I can beat him.
I go, do we get to get McDonald's?
Yeah.
As I'm getting set.
Yeah, yeah.
On all fours, I look at my mom and go, do I get a Big Mac? If I do, then the next thing I know, my arm's getting taken out and my face is getting slapped into the fucking mat.
You should come over the top. You go on the wrist, man. It's more on the, like, there.
When they take your arm out, the helplessness of being beaten wrestling is you just go like, okay.
I've been there. I mean, I've been there a lot. But
well, that's crazy when you get, we'll talk about that. Because when you get to that level and you're being manhandled, you're dealing with someone that's like a Dagestanian.
Yeah, man. It's great that you know about those
guys. But those guys are just like unbelievable at wrestling.
Ossetia and Dagestan. So it was like, I beat a couple kids, and then there was this kid, Greg Montgomery. I still remember my dad was like,
I hope you're all right, Greg.
He's like, you're going to have to wrestle. You know, they were like, hey, next to Montgomery. And I was like, kind of like, I'm sick.
And you knew his name?
I knew everybody knew his name. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sick. You know, and I was sick. And he sort of had this, I remember him like, I'm young. And he was like, you know, sort of that, listen, son, there's sometimes in life when you have to do stuff that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And you, you know, I know you don't want to wrestle this guy. I know you're feeling bad, but this is a test. Or, you know, like, and he didn't say it in like a, you know, he just said it sort of that discussion way, like, this is
a way I assume a father would.
Yes. Yeah.
I would assume. Yeah. That's how a father was.
Yeah, and it's, you know, yeah.
But you get a life lesson.
And I'm sure at the time I was like, but I don't want to, you know. Yeah. He's like, well, you know, I know you don't want to, and that's part of why. And then if my mother had been there, she'd have killed him.
Like, yeah. But like, he has the flu.
Yeah. So I remember wrestling that kid and beating him, but it was like 3-2 and a grind out. And my dad, to this day, I'm not sure he's ever been as proud of me as that. Like, he's.
But when you're 9 years old, like, he did was that like, just feel incredible?
Yeah, and he was like, you don't have to go to school tomorrow. You don't have, like, he was like, this
but,
is.
But I mean, also, you have the flu. Yeah. What's crazy to think about it is you beat like three kids in wrestling, but also gave them the flu.
Yeah, so probably. Like, yeah.
So like those three kids got dominated.
Yeah.
Like not even Gregory. Gregory's like, I put up a good fight. I grinded. Just the kid that's like me. That's like, yeah, he kicked the shit out of me, and now I can't keep down water.
You're taking a perfectly beautiful story and you're ruining
it. Just the hypochondriac me goes. But you made those boys very sick. Yeah. No, dude, I think that's incredible to have that moment. To be good at something like that and to share a moment with your dad where he's like, Greg, this sucks. Yeah. But you're going to grind it out. That probably to him was as important of a moment. Because
he's
a coach, but more importantly, he's a dad.
Yeah, he told me about another time. I think I was like 7 or something. And they put me with some kid who I was in over my head. And I think it was I was young enough where I think I was crying or something. Sure. I got worked. And then he was like, well, you want to go home or whatever? And I was like, no, who's the next guy or whatever? You know? And he was like, all right, we might have something.
That's great. That's like the movie in the biopic where they go, honey, might want to see this.
Yeah.
Greg wants to wrestle again. When was he your coach? What age?
High school.
That's where it gets real.
Yeah, high school.
And was that fun?
It was at times. I mean, now it's great because we go to the NCAA wrestling tournament together. We have this thing. It was rough a few times, more than a few times.
He's your dad, but your coach. Yes. So he's competitive.
So he had to, you know.
You're very good.
Your job is to, I think, you know, make somebody go past the limitations or not be satisfied with you. Like,
but also... You don't have to see your coach at dinner.
No.
When you go home.
No.
Or you don't have to go to grandma's on Saturday for lunch with your coach after he just told you that you gave a week of shit practices.
Yeah. And then now I think about it, it was harder on him because
he had to be a dick.
And he had to contend with my mother, who was like your mom, in that like my mother was a writer.
Yeah.
And she would go to my matches and read a book unless I was wrestling. And then my mother has no interest in athletics.
She was proud of you.
Yeah, she was there. So she was not my dad. And so when the things that.
That might make it worse is when you have a coach's wife with a coach.
Yeah.
Because then you're going now you have no reprieve. Now it's all. You know, like
that was the one where I'd see the literally the buzzhead kid you were talking about. Like,
yeah,
when it's the mom, we don't bring up losers in this family. Yeah. We ain't about losing. Go, what well, was that?
He's gonna have it's to like, get choked to come.
He's getting it from his mom. Yeah. My mom could care less.
This guy's gonna beat up hookers. This guy has no emotional connection to women. That's a problem. Yeah, yeah, when yeah, you yeah, see yeah, a mom yeah, yeah. being mean to a little boy, you
oh
go,
my god.
Oh! You're going to get another lady hit. Like, you don't understand.
I remember, and then I remember, like, as a kid, and again, we'll get to the part, I got worked bad in I'm college.
Always, but like, just to put a pin in this, and we're going to come back to this. These are my favorite stories about Vecchione telling me about just getting manhandled at Penn State, where he'd be like, it sucked.
Vecchione's insane. Vecchione was a good high school wrestler. I think he got second or first in the state. Is
second in Florida.
Second in Florida.
I noticed that.
And he was a guy that should have gone to, because you could tell he's a maniac.
Yeah.
And he's strong as an ox. Like, but he started wrestling late.
Yeah.
He's a guy where you'd be like, okay, this kid needs to go on a partial scholarship to a low-level D1 school.
That'll work
out. And then just be in the room. No, Vecchione decides to walk on at Penn State,
yeah.
which was, now they're the biggest dynasty in college sports.
Don't they have, isn't Sanderson their coach?
Yeah, he's their, when Vecchione was there, it wasn't that.
I know.
It was top three.
He had a Japanese guy, a Japanese
Tadaki
coach?
Hata, I think, was one of the guys that was, legend. Yeah.
And he would just tell me, he'd be like, I would just get ran. They would be like, all right, Mike, you're with this All-American. And then this kid was just like, wham, wham, like Hulk with Loki.
Like, and I had a little more of a pedigree. I had wrestled in some of those international or national tournaments.
Yeah.
I won state a couple times. I started when I was five. So and I would not have gone to Penn State. I would not have gone there.
Really? Even though you went to Missouri, which is big
Missouri
eight,
was, at the was time,
big fucking big shit.
We were the basement of the Big Eight back then. Okay. Now they're good.
Yeah, because Big Eight, you're going against Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Five teams wrestled in the Big Eight.
I'm going to see if I can guess them. Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
Texas?
Nope. Oh, it was Big Eight. Texas was Southwest Conference.
Oh, yeah. They were still against. They were going to. All right. Nebraska, Oklahoma, Missouri.
Two more.
Kansas?
Nope. You're missing the big one. They're missing two big.
Colorado didn't. Nope.
They did, though, at one time.
They did?
Yeah.
All right. Big Eight. And I'm missing two of the big
ones. You're missing the two
best. Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Iowa State Cyclones.
The Cyclones.
So that's four. And then the fifth
the
one.
The best one.
The best one.
The best one by far. Where I got humiliated.
No way. Oh,
brutal.
I don't know. Kansas State?
Okie State.
Oklahoma State. Oakie State, yeah. How the fuck did I not remember?
Oakie State.
Oklahoma State, Missouri,
Iowa State, Nebraska.
Iowa State. Those
so back
are
then,
all
we were
corn fed white boys.
In the late 80s, we were distant fifth in that group. Those four teams, though, were
the best in
top
the
six or seven in the country.
Now, at the time, that's Dan Gable at Iowa.
He was at Iowa, yeah.
So they're winning the Big Ten.
They're winning the Big Ten.
Nationals have
either every them year. Or Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I think Arizona State snuck in there one year.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's crazy because you're getting like Iowa and Iowa State, which still are still great programs, right?
Right. Iowa State's finally come back. Okay. Iowa State took a dive for a long time. I was always top three or four. So
this is such a world that's so fascinating because college football, $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
College basketball, $1 billion industry. College baseball, pretty big, $1 million industry.
No, I don't think so.
They've gotten bigger with the ESPN representation.
Really?
But what I'm fascinated by is college wrestling.
Yeah.
Because this is like the pros.
Yeah.
Granted, there's Olympic wrestling and there's other forms of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
as a pro wrestling fan, it's always fun to go.
Oh yeah.
Pro wrestling. But college is Vecchione and I wanted to go to Nationals one year and it sold out.
He anytime you want to go, tell me.
Like, yes.
He came one time. I got.
Oh, he told me about.
Yeah. Because I was like the St. Louis guy. I was like, you got to book Mike this week, you know, so
I remember that he was working the funny bone and got to go.
And we went and it was awesome.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
But when you're in high school and your dad's your coach and you're winning,
yeah,
there's obviously pressure. It's fun because you're winning.
Yeah.
There's pressure because it's your dad. Was he at all, like, the recruiting process when Missouri came to you? Were they the biggest school that looked at you?
Well, they came, you know, they offered me a scholarship.
I always think it's crazy how much fun it's got to be recruited.
As someone
that wants to be complimented,
yeah,
you just want someone coming to your house going.
But
like,
I was regionally recruited; like it wasn't okay. Like I was not.
Did you win state?
Two times, yeah, yeah.
Great,
but in Missouri, and then so Missouri, Southern Illinois, Missouri State, some other schools, and then West Point, and I went to West Point my first year of college. Like I went.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I went.
You down. You did the Shane Gillis?
Yeah.
You went for a year and then bailed?
I stayed for the full year, though.
He did a day. Yeah. I just did Ari Shaffir's storytelling show, and he tells the story about how he did it.
I love it, yeah.
He did like a day or two.
Yeah.
So you did a year.
A full year at West Point, yeah.
And how was that?
It was
brutal.
Hard. Yeah. It was hard in a way.
You're in the Army.
You're in the Army, and it's hard in a way that's not cute or funny until 20 years later. It's like you realize that it's very funny, but like was
there days you're just like
every day. My cousin Jack had gone in the seminary and left, and he told me, and everybody's giving you advice, and he's like, hey man, just so you know, the one thing that got me through this was I told myself I can quit if I want to. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then like 3 weeks in, I was like, this is the only thing that's getting, like, I just sort of said to myself, I'm going to make it through the first year. And then but I would be like, I could leave, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you made it a year.
Yeah.
What was the moment where you decided to leave?
Okay. So
thank you for your service.
They were all,
just want to get that out there. Yeah.
My,
as a vet,
jerk friend, like my friends that are comics, Mark Gross, Isaac Witte. These two very funny guys, every year on Veterans Day.
That's fun.
Every year I
that's
get
it. I might be a hack and start texting Shane.
It is, please. It is. Yep, should. It is a paragraph.
I love that paragraph even more.
Of like, and I'll be like, and then I'll just say, like, you guys are jerks. No. You know,
keep us free. You're
every
the
year
you're
I get
the reason
that text.
We get to do this job.
Yeah, I love you.
And I'm proud to be an American. Yeah. So
the day I knew I was going to leave, and now I had thought about it a lot. Okay, because I was. I wanted to party a little in college. I was pretty straight in high school. I wanted to party
and
meet girls in college.
Yeah.
I was getting in trouble.
Especially
major trouble.
Pre-phone college.
I was,
which I got to go to too.
Yeah. I was getting in major trouble at West Point for talking in formation.
Oh
my friends were doing drugs and everything, drinking, binge drinking.
What happens to people from Springfield, Missouri? They die of drug overdoses.
Yes,
because they do so much.
And I'm getting
Brad
in
Pitt.
Trouble for talking online. Yeah. You know, like
that's so fucking funny.
But I remember. So we get done with the whole school year, and I'm like, I made it. And then that summer, we were gonna get to go home for 2 weeks, and
sure.
I was like so fired up. And I was still every day at that point. I was like, "Should I stay or should I, you know?"
Yeah.
And we went. That summer we were going to go drive tanks and for two months.
That might keep me coming back.
And this is what I was thinking. I was like, "We're going to drive tanks. I'm going to get to go home and party with my friends and be the big shot."
Did you go do a little rum spring?
Yeah.
Go get a little army rum spring in there.
Rum spring.
See all those freedoms you're fighting for.
Yeah, it was exactly like that too, man. It was exactly.
Oh,
like
you
that.
Got a big old
Christmas
fat
was exactly like that.
You got a fat line of freedom, and you were like, I don't know if I want to fight for this anymore.
Yeah, it was exactly like that.
You went like this. I could drive a tank on a video game probably in the next 10 years. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
It was more just constant drink, and I didn't even drink that much in high school. I remember Christmas. I was drunk the whole time. My mom was like, "You're not like this. I am now.
Yeah.
I am now, mom."
Well, mom, turns out pussy and booze rule.
So
also, you're in wrestling shape.
Oh,
just peel that shirt right off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wish I had better stories about me. No, nah, still dude. Unsuccessful with women at the time. No. But
we're not diverting.
I hate
no,
to ruin.
Talk about your love life. No. But going back to your friends for 2 weeks.
Oh, it was so great. So I'm like, all right. And so they march us down to this meeting. And now it's all done. Like the year is over, the worst year of your life. And
this
like,
is before the 2 weeks.
This is before the 2 weeks. And they're like, hey, we just got a few more, I think 2 days of out processing. I took my finals, which by the way, West Point is a hard college.
Yeah, like, it's academically very
academically
good.
Challenging. You take 18 hours and a lot of math and science.
That's how I always felt about Notre Dame and Stanford athletes, where you're like, these are top athletic programs in the country, but also require top academics.
Yeah.
Whenever I watch Notre Dame football, Shane will have this running joke with me where he goes, that nose tackle is good at math.
Yeah.
He goes, I just want you to know that. Yeah. When you watch Notre Dame, that nose tackle is good at math. And same with West Point. You have to be, I mean, same with Annapolis, same with the Air Force Academy. I grew up in Colorado, so everyone was trying to go to the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, man.
Or no, like those that were incredibly athletic and incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Grant and Matt, these two guys I knew went to Air Force Academy, and you were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
One of them became a fighter pilot and an American hero.
Oh, really, man?
Yeah, it's just like a guy where you're like, my girlfriend in eighth grade cheated on me with you, so thank you for your service. But I'm still a little bitter. I can't even salute you like this. So it makes me think of when you fingered my girlfriend after eighth grade.
Not to be technical, man, but it's a right-handed salute. But
it is. You don't I can't even do that. I don't know what hand he used, Greg.
Right. He's right, man.
I don't know. she was right.
Yeah, it's right-handed.
She chose the right one. Never forget. Trisha was right. So you go back. So they march you down.
So they march down, and we have this meeting. They're talking about, this is what, you guys are going to go home in a couple of days, and when you come back, this is what the summer's going to look like. And there's like, you know, I was Camp Buckner, and you're going to drive tanks, and you're going to do all this stuff, and it's, and then he goes, and my back is like, oh, finally done with them yelling at me. You're like, they're not going to yell at me. It was every day, every hour of every day. I'm like, they're not going to yell at me. I'm not going to get in trouble. And then they go, all right, so we're going to march back to the barracks, and then you guys are going to lay out all your equipment on your beds, and we're going to have an inspection to make sure you have all your equipment. And I remember thinking, I lost half of that stuff.
Oh, no.
I don't have that tent pole. I lost half of it. Yeah. And they're just going to keep yelling at me. They're going to yell at me about this. And this is as we're marching back.
You're talking to yourself in formation.
They're yelling at me. They're not done yelling at me. They said they were done yelling at me, but they're going to yell. I know they're going
to
yell at me about
this. They're setting me up to get yelled at again.
I'm going to get yelled at again. And by the time we got back, it was you know, I'm 17 years old, I think, or something. Like I just had to go to the, you have to go. Everything is chain of command. You
know? Sure.
So I go to my squad leader, who's a college kid.
Yeah.
At the time, he's basically a god.
If you were at college, if you're at a regular university, he would be your dorm guy.
Yeah.
He would be your.
But not even that. He's like,
he's just be coming by going like, guys.
He's the RA.
He's the RA. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, guys.
But you see him. You don't see things that way at all. You see that this guy is a god.
Yeah.
So I go to him and I'm like, hey, I want to quit. So then. Basically, they talk you out of, like, they try to talk you out of it for, like, hey, Warren.
Do you think they have a prepared speech? Do you think they know a lot of these guys come up to them and they go, like?
I think they were a little surprised in the timing. Like, once you make it through the first year, you don't lose as many. You know, like, they quit after basic quit.
Yeah.
I
bet those first 3 months are just dropping like frogs.
And I don't even know. I'd love to talk to Shane about it because I know. Back when I was there, I mean, he's younger than I am, but you can't quit for a certain amount of period. Like, you can't. Now, there were kids that were, like, tying bed sheets together, literally, and then they were like, we're not going to go after him. But you legally.
Oh, really?
You're in the, like, you legally can't quit.
There are guys that did, like,
tied bed sheets great together, escape. Came down and ran, and they're like, fine.
And those are the guys now that wear Oakleys in their Twitter profile, and they're like, Sleepy Joe Biden is up to no good in here. You deserted the army.
You deserted, man.
You're a deserter. And they're like, let me tell you what Kamala wants to do. That's so funny to think some of those guys were like,
yeah.
Just ran away.
And then
some of those Democrats were too.
They're just balanced. So the and then there's a day when you're allowed to quit. It's somewhere in the middle.
Oh, my God. I bet there were so many dudes jacking off in their bunks before that day.
Somewhere in the middle of basic training. And the Army has a sense of humor, man. So, like, they're all out processing. You can see them.
Sure.
You can see, and you're just fantasizing like, man, maybe those guys are going to be, those guys are going to be having fun and you're, in 3 hours.
You're just marching.
Oh. You're marching. And then, and this one guy, you know, they call cadence, you know?
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite, this is not my bit, but the guy, like, you're marching by and this upperclassman goes, you're left. Your buddy just left.
That's fun.
That's fun. That's one of my favorite. The other favorite was
you're in formation,
right? That's the haze, is you have to stand in formation.
Sure.
4 times a day, and they just come and inspect you, and they ask you all these questions. Yeah. I'm sure Shane's told you some of it. Like, but it's like, and you're supposed to be looking straight ahead.
Sure.
You know, look straight ahead. So, you know, naturally you're standing there.
Is the hot dog a sandwich? Yeah. And you go, yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean,
explain it to me, sir. And you're like, so the bread goes around the meat.
Yes,
therefore
yes,
making it yes, a sandwich, yes, sir.
Yeah, you got it, man.
I should have probably gone to the army if I wasn't such a pussy.
Yeah, it's all pussy. That. Like, there was a thing, you had to know the news, but you had to report it in a certain way. Warren,
fake news. That's what I'm gonna do now. Liberal slant on the news, sir. Probably,
I wonder now, man. Yeah.
A plane from Qatar is cool, sir. And they go, that is correct. You got to go like with what Trump wants for the news.
Yeah.
He goes, is China scared of us? They go, they do not want a trade war, sir. Canada will be our 51st state.
Man, I never thought of that, man. Because the New York Times was the publication.
Sure.
Everybody was delivered the New York Times at West
Point. Failing New York Times.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the same paper. Because you had to be like, Warren, what's in the news today? Sir, today in the New York Times, it was reported that Ronald Reagan, President Ronald, are you on a first name basis with the commander in chief, Warren? You want to start over? Sir, today in the New York Times, it was reported that President Reagan, I didn't start over, Warren. You know?
Oh my God, I'd be like, will you just stop? I'd eventually be like, hey, can you just give me a second?
Yeah.
It's very early.
Yeah. None of that. Like,
those trumpets get played very early. Those bugles get played very early.
So you're looking straight ahead, right?
What is the greatest show of all time? Sir, The Wire. He goes, you are incorrect. It is Breaking Bad. And you go, agree to disagree, sir. Season 3 shows the decay of the inner city match into season 4, the decay of the public education system. Sir. Those are the nerd conversations you want.
Yeah. I can't remember. There's like only three. It's yes, sir, no, sir, and sir.
And oh, you're bad.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're bad.
You're bad. Yeah.
So you go. So they tell you you're marching back to this place, and in your head, having this conversation of like, "Fuck it, maybe."
Yeah. And then I just start going up the chain.
You tell him, and he goes. He's got his little speech,
and I think they all think they won. Like they'd be like, and I'd be like, yeah, and be like, Warren, you screwed up a lot, because I did. They were like, you screwed up, but your grades are okay, and you made it through.
You don't even like drinking. You don't even like pussy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, now you can do all that stuff. Yeah. Like, you get leave and go to the city. Sure. So, and I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, I still want to quit, man. You know, and then you have to go to the next guy. And it was like 8 levels. And by the time I got to the end, you know, now you're not talking to college because you're talking to the army guys. You're talking
to people that are
captains.
They have been there since World War II.
And
they're like,
we think you can do it, you know, and I finally like got through the last level of quitting. And then at that point I was like, I'm 17 years old. I'm like, I let down my country.
Yeah.
I'm a loser. I'm a failure. And I'm a deserter.
You can never watch a Rocky movie again.
No, none of it, man.
He didn't fight for you over there. What time of day does this happen? In the morning?
I think it was evening.
So where do you go? You can't sleep in the barracks. You're done.
I think I did sleep in the barracks.
But you're out?
But I like...
You're
had,
at work,
like,
but you're
you
not
don't
working?
Don't have epaulets on. Like you're the one... When you don't have epaulets on your shoulders, then you're out processing. But I remember the night before I left, I was just hanging out with... Because it's the first time that upperclassmen can talk to you as a human being. Like
when you're leaving.
Well, no, because we all, it was over. It was over. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to all these upperclassmen and they're like, and I'm just doing my rudimentary version of stand-up back then.
You're just being funny.
You know, trying to, and I was doing impressions of all these upperclassmen, and they're like, what are you quitting for? Like, Warren's cool. Like, why is he quitting? You know, and
Warren rips. Why is he going?
Yeah, and I was like, no, man, I'm leaving. So the next morning, you're out on a plane. You know, they.
What did your dad? Did you call home?
Yeah, he was. I mean, my mother was thrilled. My dad,
fucking liberal mom.
Yeah,
and her writing.
Yeah, and my dad's liberal, very liberal, but also
coaches don't
and
fucking
a dad, and they think like. Back, they're like, hey, man, if you make it through this thing, you're going to be set for life. And yeah, I don't ever have to worry about you again financially, you know?
He also gets to do that thing where he goes, my son is a veteran.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which has got to be cooler than being a veteran.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My son
is a veteran.
My son.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you? Yeah. Did he fight in Kuwait? No.
No.
Just right after. Yeah. But he went to Germany.
Grenada.
Is it Grenada? Yeah. He went to the shit in Grenada. Yeah, I mean, that's... So were you, like, scared to tell him?
No, I mean, we had been talking, you know, and I think his thing was like, hey, what do you... Let's just say you make it through the year. That's a deal I think we made, you know, and my dad had a huge influence on me. I was like, all right, I'm going to make it through the year, and I was conflicted, and he was okay. So I get home, and at that point, I thought, I want to go to Hollywood and be a comedian or something. I'm 17 years old. And
so you already knew you wanted to do comedy.
I mean, but I was gutless. And
I get it. It was the same feeling I had.
I was gutless, and I didn't think, and I was also structured. I don't want to go out there. And I think he said something like, he definitely didn't want to be. He was like, you want to do that? This is what it's going to take. And you're going to have to. And I was like, and then 2 days later, I think it was the day I got home. And then 2 days later, the Missouri coach was at my house and had dinner with my family, and like, hey, I'm offering you a scholarship to Missouri.
What a great fallback plan.
Yeah, and I was like,
who made that call? Your dad immediately.
Man, I don't, you know, that's a
what, good... you think he just heard? Yeah. You think he was just, he's coaching? He's like, boop, that's enough for today, guys. What, Greg Warren's back?
I knew.
His mom's got a delicious roast that I can eat tonight. He's, he's like, yeah, fucking your dad. My son's out of the army. Yeah. It's like when... when you have a crush on a girl and she has a boyfriend, and then she breaks up with her boyfriend and her friend texts you and she goes, sounds like I broke up with her boyfriend. Then you go, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what happened. Your dad was like, Greg broke up with the army. And Missouri was like, do you want to wrestle?
I wonder now, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Ask your dad.
I will. I guarantee he called me on the way over here. I wonder, I should ask him.
I guarantee he called Missouri and was like, hey, my son, who I coached to be a terrific wrestler, is out of the army. Were you wrestling for the army?
Yeah.
So how hellish was that?
Not.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's funny because it was, I mean, they were good and I was hurt a lot that year. And I talk about myself like I'm sort of, man, I toughed it out the first year of, I was in the hospital for like 6 or 8 weeks they just couldn't figure out what was wrong with my back and it wasn't that bad.
Oh no.
And I got to do those six are like everybody's going through, and I was ordering pizzas and like doing nothing.
You're like, mom, my back. Yeah, I guess I need another milkshake.
So my dad, I got out, and I wrestled them.
So then Missouri brings you in. How quickly do you go into training for wrestling at Missouri? Which, for those of you who aren't sports fans and don't know, Division I athletics are, it's like joining NASA. It's like becoming an astronaut. Wrestling is the hardest of all that.
I mean, I look like, so I remember getting...
Because it seems like you quit the army to go have this fun summer.
I did.
But then you immediately signed up for...
No, but I had the fun summer.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Good. It was insane.
You deserve that.
I was drinking more than I ever drank in my life.
St. Louis
you're also 17 and you can like wake up after being completely drunk and be like, I'm going to go on a run. So I look back, I'm like, I should have taken it more... Serious.
You were fine. You should have enjoyed it.
I did, but I think there's, you know, but wrestling in the Army was, they were good, not as good as Missouri.
Sure.
There was good guys there, really good guys. But the thing is, the coach sort of knew, it's not like you got 30 people yelling at you all day. So by the time you get to wrestling practice, the coach is like, hey, you're like, yeah, whatever, coach.
Yeah, you're like, you're not even giving it to me. How does the drill
line,
sergeant?
Man,
yeah.
Get in line.
I got, this is how I woke up.
Yeah, this is, so they kind of knew.
That's kind of like when I'm smoking bowls all day. It's the first one that gets you. And then by the end of the day, you go, I don't know if this is good weed. It's like the 30th bowl I've smoked.
Exactly like that. It's exactly like that.
See, in you, fact, you coach, squares in the military, you can understand.
Yeah,
that. Like,
coach told us that, too. Yeah, he goes,
it's
like,
just like your 30th bowl.
It's like when Soder's smoking weed.
It's like when he's just fucking blazing crawling
yeah.
all day.
Yeah, coach mentioned you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you go to, you get to have this fun summer, and then you go to Missouri, and yeah. then it's like, that's also got to be fun to leave and then go, I do love wrestling.
It did. Yeah, I felt like that. I think, I can't remember why I didn't like, I think I was gutless about like moving to LA at 17 and trying, sure. but I think it also was like, I think I still might be good at wrestling. I still might have something here. You know, like I still.
You don't go into comedy, and we all know this from being in that, until you've exhausted all options. Until you've gone, like, I think this is the only place I might fit.
Is oh, yeah, comedy. Man. It took me. I mean, it's why you guys are doing so well. I mean, I.
What age did you start comedy?
I started in college a couple, but off and on. That one of the wrestlers worked at a comedy club and really? And signed me up for some contest.
No shit.
Yeah.
But when did you commit to it?
After 10 years out of college, I sold.
Yeah, because you were like a top salesman.
I sold Pringles and Jif and Duncan yeah. Hines and Crisco for 10
She's
years.
The peanut butter Maine.
Yeah, and so
hey,
I.
What up, peanut butter Maine?
Yeah, and I finally like after. 10 years. Those last 5 years, I was like, you know how you're the, oh, I was like, the road, I didn't do it like you guys, where you guys go to New York and.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, there's different ways to get into comedy. Yeah. There's like, you can, especially now with fucking YouTube and everything being satellite, but like back in the day when we started, pre-internet or like beginning of the internet, you would just fucking work the club where you live.
Yeah.
And then you would hope to somehow get into a club in another city, but yeah. making that jump, when I got booked to MC in Albuquerque,
yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
To me, man. That was almost bigger than it, the first time I like
yeah.
had to fly across the country to headline. Yeah, you're like, yeah. oh, this is fucking, I gotta go yeah. to a different city and yeah. stay in a condo.
I remember the week I quit, because I was like, for 10 years, I was doing pretty much stand-up, especially the last five.
So you're doing mics. You're doing the mics, you're doing local MC stuff.
Yeah, I was hosting. Like I was yeah. the host at Go Bananas every other week or at this club in Dayton called Jokers and then the Columbus Funny Bone. I was like yeah. I was the host. And but you know, you'd have a fun show. I was in my 20s and you're like all the guys are like hanging out with these girls. They're like, hey man, these girls, they want to go hang out at this bar. Yeah. You want to go? I'm like, I gotta get up and sell peanut butter. And then yeah. the first week I had quit, I was on the road at some club, you know, and they're yeah. like, hey, you want to go hang out with girls? I'm like, yeah.
I've been waiting for a long time to do this. Yeah, that yeah. was, you know, I think I went through something similar, even though I moved to New York, because I moved here and I'm not like, when you find out that kids move here and they're rich and they do stand up, it yeah. really bugs the fuck out of you because you go, oh, so you just got to wake up and write?
Yeah.
I had to wake up, do Cafe at Dos yeah. Caminos, and then work at K-Rock. Because I worked both of those
places.
Did
you really?
Yeah, but I was doing K-Rock. Sometimes overnights, I would fill in for Cheesemo, very rarely. But then I would do weekends. So I was just like, every night I had to go yeah, do something. Either during the day or at night, I had to go do something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Radio I liked, but I yeah. was over it at that point. I'd yeah. been working in it. All I wanted to do was stand up.
Yeah.
And so I get it, because you're like, we would be out. This is when Joe List shit in the shoe.
Yeah.
Me, Nate.
Oh, you guys.
We were out drinking, but I had to go home early because I had to go to open the cafe.
Yeah.
And we were at Barcelona Bar on 55th and 8th. And I was like, I got to go open cafe. And they were like, Nate and Joe were like blacked out. And they're like, now we're going. And that's when during the lunch service the next day, my flip phone blew up. because Nate and Joe were like, Nate was laughing so hard. And he's like, you got to call Joe, man. You got to call Joe. It's wild. And then I called Joe List and he picks up the phone. He goes, hello. He was in Seattle for the Seattle comedy competition.
No way.
He had just landed. And he's like, oh, it's crazy. He was just, on the plane still. And I go, what happened? He goes, I can't tell you right now. I shit in a girl's shoe. And I was like, oh, please call me. I left doing my paperwork as a waiter. The most important part of your shift is doing paperwork because it means you're done and it means they're about to hand you some cash.
He
called me while I was doing paperwork and I put my paperwork on just the to side, hear the went outside and smoked a cigarette just to hear the story.
All right. So I hear about those days with you because it was like you, Joe, Vecchione,
Nate. Norman, Maril, everybody getting hammered.
Just crazy,
It was everyone was drinking.
Young enough to not even care that you're going to...
It's that thing. Yeah. You know, you're 25 years old and you're waking up brutally hungover, but it doesn't even matter.
Or sometimes, I remember like, I can't remember what, maybe a little younger than that. I would wake up and feel awful and be like, well, I'm just going to go back to sleep. And then you'd wake up and be like, I feel fine.
I'd drink a Gatorade and think that was like medicine.
I'm great.
Yeah. I'd be like, I drink Gatorade and be like, yeah, this has got some medical benefits.
You sleep through the hangover.
This is how pliable I was in my early 20s. When I moved to New York, I was 23, 24 is when I started like working at K-Rock and I would work 6 a.m. to noon. But on Friday nights, I would go do check spots at Stand Up New York. So I just go bomb.
Yeah.
On the 8 to 10. And then the midnight show was Louis J. Gomez's poster dog show. That's how I met all those guys.
Oh, really?
So I would do check spots 8 and 10, but I would drink the whole night. I would eat cheap pizza before I would go. And then starting at 8 o'clock, I would drink until oftentimes we'd hang out at Stand Up New York till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I would go down to West 57th, to 40 West 57th, and I would sleep either on the O&A couch, which I talked to Jim Norton about, in their studio, or in the Howard Stern green room. And I'd put like my jacket over my head and I would sleep on a couch for 90 minutes to 2 hours.
That's crazy.
And then wake up and do a 6 hour shift on the radio.
That's crazy, man.
But be fine.
I would wake up.
I would smoke a cigarette in the stairwell. I'd get a shitty cup of Insta coffee with like Insta creamer and sugar.
Not even real coffee.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It was horrible. And then I'd just... And then I'd go to the studio and be like, hey, this is Paramore with Misery Business.
Man.
And then I'd just like load the hour and do it. But I was fine.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I would get off work at noon. And so I was living on my friend's couch in Hoboken. And I would go back and they'd be like, we're having beers. And I'd be like, beers.
Yeah.
And then just fucking right through it. Now I would be like, I need a hot shower mixed with a cold sleep,
mixed with
4 Advil. And
a little bit of melatonin, and then I'll take another little bit.
And then I might want to do maybe some Bayer. Bayer's good for my hips.
Yeah.
And back then, you just wake up like, bam. And you're in shape. So you're you were in super shape. So drinking, you would wake up and be like, just shake it off.
Yeah, I remember, because I drank. I mean, I look back. In college, I should have. We worked hard, and I took it seriously, but I did not. Like, I could have been better. You know,
did you have that moment after a season where you would pop off, where you would, like, the last meet, and then you're like, well, wrestling's over. Now I can go. Did you go, like, because Vecchione would tell me about eating.
The eating was the thing. Yeah,
that's the thing, because you guys are dropping weight.
Man, in college, senior year a little bit. Junior year, insane amount of weight. Like,
really?
Insane, like, because the rules were different back then. Like, you could... For a dual meet, you're just wrestling against one team, 5 hours, you weigh in, and then you have 5 hours before you have to wrestle.
Yeah, okay? So you starve yourself until you're just bones.
It's dehydrate.
Dehydrate.
And then for the NCAAs or tournaments, it's the night before. So you have the whole night to recover.
So guys are coming in 20 pounds heavier. What's the most weight fluctuation you ever had to wrestle against?
Well, I mean, the one that I remember the most was... Junior year, I made it to the second day of nationals. So I had to weigh in, and they announced the weight class. Like, 150 pounders, you have 2 hours to make weight. I checked my weight. I was 9.5 over, and I made it. And
What did you do?
Just took dehydration. Just back then, you could wear, we had sauna suits.
Yeah.
We had it.
Those trash bags that Vecchione used to run around in?
But it was the actual suit that you could get at Target for, like, you know, $20 or something. So, and we had it all timed out to Scorpions Live. So we would like, you can't run when you're that. So you just run just maybe a little, and then you turn the showers on, seal off the shower. You
just put like it, when you're Jamaican hotboxing a hotel room. Potheads and wrestlers are very, very close. Very, to yeah.
So, and then you put a bike in there, and then you go. You can't go to like you go two songs. We had all the Scorpions Live, so you go like two songs, go out. Like, just be like, I can't. All
right, maybe Rocky Like a Hurricane one more time.
Yeah. And then I remember Rocky, and then you get it down that way till about a pound and a half, and then you can't move. And then you use like the steam room or the sauna, and you take these tongue depressors and you just scrape sweat off, which I don't know if that did anything more.
Yeah, probably because you're moving room for more sweat to come out, and you're trying to get the water out of your that. Body. I bet there is some science behind that.
And then wrestlers have so many stupid things. Like, and then
you guys are like old Polish grandmothers. Yeah, you have all these like weird things you do where you go like, slap his back to get evil off it.
Yeah. And then coach, I remember one, like me and Buddy Smith are in the steam room, and he would open up the steam room and he'd take a hose and he'd hose us off. So we like cool us down, give us a little relief. But we're like trying to drink the water. He's like, stop drinking the water, Smith. You know, stop drinking the water.
That's what
Warren.
My dog does when you spray with a hose.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah. And Myrtle's and like, you don't care. You just like, I just want.
So when you would, so second day of Nationals, you make 9.5 pounds is insane.
That night I made it.
So you make weight. What is, because I kind of imagine it must be like the bends. Like if you just start eating immediately, you'll get fucked up. Is that how?
The only thing you really want to do is drink at that time. Like you just want water. Yeah, you just want water or Gatorade.
What's the best thing to drink right after losing 9.5 pounds of water weight?
I think it's probably Gatorade.
Is there a flavor? Like,
I think back then I was...
Well, back then they had orange, red, and yellow.
Yeah, it's probably about it. Yeah. De facto.
Cold yellow. Yeah, that was the standard.
Yellow.
You got an orange, you were getting a fucking...
Yeah, now that if you do the science, I'm sure it's like some version of Gatorade at room temp was probably the best way to rehydrate.
Oh, yeah, like a Pedialyte or something like filled with electrolytes.
And I'm sure these guys have. Now that
I can't imagine what it's like now.
Now it's an hour, so you can't do all that garbage because you got to wrestle. Like, you can't.
So does that, when they make it an hour, is that to make it so that these kids aren't hurting themselves like this and that it's more like, well, you're going to wrestle it more at what your walk-around weight is? Yeah.
Someday they probably want to get to mat side weigh-ins where you just step on the scale and then you go wrestle. So you can't do any of that garbage. We were at the height of when it was insane.
Crazy illegal.
Nuts.
Your guys' weight drops were insane.
I would have these doctors who would be like, well, you can't lose 9 pounds in 2 hours.
You go,
like,
brother?
Yeah, you can. And I
tell the guy from southwestern Missouri State, Mississippi State, that I beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, I wrestled... Like, I think Portland State the next morning, I beat him, and then I lost to New Mexico.
Fucking Lobos,
dude. If I'd have beat the Lobos guy, I'd have been an All-American that year, and I lost to the New Mexico.
So that's how
T-Don Fleischman.
T-Don Fleischman. Hope you're okay.
Yeah.
With all these people, you never know where they're at.
I had him, and I hurt him a little bit, and they stopped the match, and then the guy just,
So the next year, because you were All-American, what I find fascinating about All-American is
top eight.
That's what. So if you place in the
top eight,
the elite eight, you get All-American.
Yeah, I got seventh.
That's sick. Yeah.
And I should have. I think I was probably like the sixth or fifth best guy. Like I won this match and I made All-American and I was like. I was so happier than I've ever been. And I kind of knew even at that point, like, I did what I could.
Sure.
But wrestling was not my life. I knew something else had to be. Like, I was about done with it.
Yeah.
So, like, there was
that,
some guys.
You know what? Pretty fucking cool place to end up is All-American in a thing that you go, I don't know if this is it. Everything that I've done that has just been a colossal failure. This is absolutely not it. I need to find something else.
So, I mean, I'm just, like, so... I'm jumping up, and I wasn't like a big celebrator, but I was like jumping up and down.
Yeah,
like,
fuck yeah.
So then the next match, I don't care. Like, I did this.
That's how you know you're over it.
Like, I didn't think that I wanted to win.
Sure.
And it was probably the best I've ever wrestled in my life because I was just uninhibited.
Loose.
So I'm working this guy from Penn State, Jason Suter. I'm working him. I'm taking him down at will. And then this guy just gets me in a junk move and scores 5 points. And it's like, it was over. And it wasn't over, but I was basically.
Is that the moment that you think that you were like, that's it for me?
I can't try to come back, but he kind of had me. Like, yeah. he got a 5-point move, which is a lot of points. And
yeah.
I couldn't. And at that level, he was good. So at that level, like, I'm not going to.
He can control the lead.
Yeah, yeah. He controlled the lead. So then if I'd have beat him, I'd have gone for like third through six. And I lost. And I went for seventh and eighth against the North Carolina guy the next day.
Yeah.
But
that was it.
That was it. And then I was like, I'm never getting on a scale again for the rest of my life. I'm never getting on.
Do you have like a PTSD? Can you not weigh yourself?
Vecchione loves it because I won't get it.
When you're at the doctor?
Probably four times they've pressured me into getting on a scale.
So a doctor actually has to get you to be like, Greg,
I won't do it for the nurse.
I can't imagine.
And Vecchione's always like, come on, man. I'm like, dude.
Sir, you're going to need to get on the scale.
This is exactly
who. Sir. You're going to need to get on that scale. And you go,
Do you know her? I will not weigh myself. Do you know her?
Sir. And for her, she goes.
I'm like, oh, no, I don't. I don't.
This white man would not get on the scale. She's just in the break room. She goes, I swear to you, I try to get this white guy on the scale.
Okay, so take that. I've had that person.
Some woman from East St. Louis.
Take the heavier version of that woman.
Yeah, I mean, I had her pretty heavy in my mind.
Yeah, and okay, there's a heavier version, but I go, hey, I don't do that. And she's like, oh, you don't do that. All right. You know, like, so she was understanding. She was like, neither do I.
Baby, you try to get me on the scale, I threaten to walk out.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, and then you go into sale, you become a salesman for 10 years. But was it when you landed in comedy that you were like, this is the right thing? Because I will say the one thing I've noticed about wrestlers that always really impresses me is your work ethic is unmatched. Like, they always say for MMA fighting, you should have a background in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because you know how to have ground control, but more importantly, you know how to train an insane way.
I say this all the time because I'm not an MMA guy.
Yeah.
But I say this, and now, of course, you know, Nate's a big MMA fan, and like the last two wrestler guys that I was like, this guy's going to like
Bo Nickel
gets smoked. And I'm like, how did this happen?
That guy. I mean, I think it's like, they are great wrestlers, but then there's guys who grow up with the secrets of wrestling, but also while you're wrestling, they're doing Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. So now you're going against... Yeah. We're past that. Yeah. There was a stage in the 90s, in the early 2000s, where if you were a wrestler...
Dan Severn and those guys.
Randy Couture. Yeah. You're going to dominate MMA. I wrestled at
the same time as him.
You did? And he was at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he was at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He was... I think he had gone in the Marines before he went to college or something.
So, yeah, he was like Chris Weinke. He came back older and wrestled kids.
He wrestled my buddy Charlie. He was like a 190
pounder. But here's the thing. Sam Shepard in the book, A Fighter's Heart and a Fighter's Mind, he talks about this. Randy Couture had a thing where his blood pressure lowers when he's in a state of like combat.
Really?
Yeah, they did like a whole thing about him. Yeah. They did like a scientific, they can't explain it.
Really?
When he's like in a pressure situation, he's calmer than when he's normally walking around.
That ain't me.
Where they said that was like, in the Sam Sheridan book, Fighters.
That's a gift, right?
Heart. Yeah, they said like, it's just a natural thing that like, it's the reason like Manute Bol played basketball. Hey, this just happens to be a genetic thing.
I've always thought I'm pretty good friends with Ben Askren.
Yeah, and who's unbelievable.
And Ben just didn't, Ben, he's got real.
He caught a bad knee from Jorge Masvidal.
And he was also, by the time he got to the UFC, he knew he was done because
he had been wrestling in every way he could.
Yeah, and fighting. He was a good fighter. They wouldn't let him in. But he never got tired. I would talk to the Missouri coach, and he'd be like, yeah, Ben doesn't get tired. I'm like, what is that like? Like, what is it?
So what does that mean? He would just run and then be like, that was fun.
I think wrestling, he just has that slow twitch? Yeah. Like, because the guys that Woodley was a Mizzou wrestler. And a tank, but he would get tired, like, because he's just such a... But
gas
Ben
out.
Ben didn't get tired.
I wonder if that has something to do on a molecular level about the, like, acid, the lactic acid in your muscles.
Probably.
If it's, like, not released the same as us. Because it's also like, you know, Andre the Giant, he was a man, but he was born with a deficiency in his brain where his pituitary gland oversaturated, so he grew to be a giant. He's not like an actual giant, you know what I mean? There's like stuff that
But there's some college wrestling coach watching me right now going, no, Greg, you're a coward, and, and Ben is tough. Yeah, that is
Ben's
why.
A man.
Don't try to blame it on some gene that Ben has that you don't. No,
with your pseudoscience.
You're a coward. That is why he got tired just like you. He just kept going.
He wasn't a pussy about it. More fun is it being a silly goose than having to be a salesman or even a wrestler? Where you're like,
dude, it is.
I try to explain to people the best part about comedy is like, you just don't have to be. It's not serious. That's why when I see comics being too serious about it, that's what upsets me.
I was that guy for a while, man. Early on. And a couple got Vic Henley, I think, was like, hey, what are you doing?
Vic was the man.
Yeah.
God
what are
damn.
You doing, buddy?
I miss drinking, but more importantly, I miss drinking and talking SEC football with Vic
Henley. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Sit down and have a couple of fucking shots of tequila with him.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I don't know, man. Auburn's looking good.
Yeah.
And you go, are they? Because they got Texas, you know.
You ever tell you that story about it? You know, his brother
was a famous running back at Auburn.
Yeah. So his brother's this famous running back, and he's got like two nieces.
Sure.
Or one niece, I think, from a different brother, not Vic. And she went to Alabama.
Okay? Oh, boy.
And, you know, and Henley's brother is a legend at Auburn.
Yeah, he's like
whole
the name
record.
Henley is known.
Yes,
for his brother.
So
at
he
Auburn.
Gets whatever he wants at Auburn for the rest of his life. So his only niece, calls him up and says, "Hey, Uncle Terry, I need tickets for the Auburn Alabama game. I don't give tickets to Alabama fans." Click.
Yes. Fucking great. That's the
it's
kind
his
of,
only niece.
I love it.
His only niece.
He goes, he doesn't live here no more. War Eagle. He's hanging up on her. War Eagle.
Yeah,
that's. I'm fascinated by that, especially in Alabama.
It's
that Auburn,
serious. It's not like
it's not fun.
Silly, fun.
It's not like Colorado State.
No,
they're like, we're to beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I don't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, even Mizzou. Kansas when I was in school
was the battle of the, what do they call it?
I don't even know.
It's like the border battle.
It might have been back then it only mattered. We were both good in basketball back then. Like
hell yeah,
back
you
then
were.
Danny Manning and you know we had Derek Chivas and Anthony Peeler and
and Kansas was Kansas.
And they were great. And our coach would not spend
as an Arizona Wildcat, fuck Kansas.
Yeah.
All my homies hate the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, but you guys were
they beat the shit out of us my junior year, senior year. They beat regular season by 20 points.
Elite Eight, they schooled Missouri one year.
And they just
Arizona did.
Arizona.
Had those guards.
Lute Olson, you're talking about.
It was Lute Olson team. It was in the Elite Eight, and one of them went to the NBA.
Jason Terry?
No.
Might have been Jason the Jet Terry around that time.
Mike.
Pull car. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them went to the NBA, or maybe both of them, but they smoked us.
I love it. I can fucking. Dude, I'm fascinated by it. But I always think it's amazing because I've always known you as a comedian. So, and you're a fucking awesome comic. You're hilarious. And then to know that you have this backstory always makes me feel so less interesting where you're like, dude, you did all that? It's like Forrest Gump. You're like, you're just running around doing all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then now I just know you as a fantastic comic. But I mean, that's the best part. I mean, thanks for coming by.
Oh yeah, dude.
Watch his special on YouTube. The link is right below you. So just click on it. Check him out. Also, watch all of his specials. He's got fucking fantastic specials. Is the one before is on YouTube, right?
Yeah, they're both on Nate's channel.
Go to the Nateland page.
Yeah.
Actually, click the link for Greg's, then go to the Nateland page and, you know, show love to all the Nateland comics like Vecchione, Aaron Weber.
Special is real good. Aaron Weber's. Yeah.
Steven Rogers.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, Nateland might be the St. Louis of
yeah,
YouTube
man, we're,
channels.
Yeah. We got some stuff, man.
I'm trying to bring an analogy out. Like, does that work? That's not going to work. Well, you're the man, dude. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.